Hi, and welcome. I'm Dr. Clay McDonald, president of Logan, and the host of today's broadcast. My guest today is Dr. Dan Hahn, assistant professor and director of residence and fellow education here at Logan. And Dan, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about your role as that director of both the residencies and the fellowships.
Yeah, my role currently with the university is to organize and maintain those postdoctoral educational programs so that students who are interested in generating additional skill sets within themselves can pursue some study there. So we currently have three residency programs here. Diagnostic imaging is our largest and longest running, of course. Right. Our integrated clinics residency is satisfying the ever-growing need for chiropractors that can navigate the world of integrated practice in community health center or hospital-based settings. Sure. And we have a residency that's affiliated with our doctor in health professions education, where they work on improving their teaching skill set while also working concurrently toward their doctor in health professions education. So we maintain those, we run those, we work to keep the residents on track with their educational purposes and help them achieve their goals of specializing and developing those specialized skills.
Right. I can see the obvious benefits to Logan. We have you. We have Dr. Kettner, Dr. Kuhn, and many others, right, that have come through. But what is the benefit, do you feel like is the biggest benefit for each one of those for the students who choose to do them?
Well, the biggest benefit for the students is that the development of their skill set in those unique environments is just rapidly accelerated. So traditionally, residency training has not been a feature of chiropractic education, but I think as residencies become more and more accepted, the speed at which a resident can work and become more fluent with the language and the practice and the culture of those environments, whether it's diagnostic imaging or like we mentioned, integrated practice, that just helps them achieve their goals more quickly than they would otherwise have had to do it alone in particular. Or we kind of use our first few years in the private practice as kind of our residency, and sometimes that's great, sometimes that's not so great. So one of the benefits of entering a residency program is you have some assurances. These are the educational objectives of the program. This is what we're going to help you meet. We have these resources available to you. And most crucially, the residencies provide really good mentorship with real-time feedback to help develop the clinical skill set or diagnostic skill set or teaching skill set for our health professions residents as well.
Yeah, sure. And that one, it seems to be really good. The art of teaching is art, science, and almost philosophy of teaching is something that is a little bit intuitive in some, but generally speaking, most of us just walk in the classroom for the first time. Yeah. Our qualification is that we have a degree in the appropriate topic.
So right? True.
And so how does that residency, what's involved in that? What kind of exposure do I have?
Oh, yeah, sure. So like you mentioned, most of higher education kind of suffers from the same issue, is that once you achieve your degree, your expertise in this sometimes very narrow slice of knowledge, then you're put into the classroom without any training on how to navigate in that environment or even any understanding of adult learning theory and practice, right? So our health professions education residency is designed to give the resident that real-time application of the knowledge while they're pursuing their DHPE degree as well. So, and they're working with mentors in our DHPE program, Laura Rauscher, for example, Brittany Ramirez also. So we assign them to one of our degree programs, basically. And so they get gradual, incremental courses to teach. Currently, since the online education world is such a growing region, we pay particular attention to the differences between brick and mortar classroom teaching and course design, and also online course design and instruction, because they're two different worlds, yeah, and need to be approached as such. So they get training in from, like I said, course design all the way through how to develop a course, through learning objectives, how to formulate a syllabus, generate course content.
And like I would have to think one of the most critical things, how to test.
Assessment, yeah. Right. Yeah, one of the mantras in that is, you know, assessment is right. the key to learning. So right. how to generate good assessment tools that actually right. test the things you right. want to exactly. know about your learner right. and not yes. just something where you can check yeah. a box. Yeah.
Well, and the level of testing, right? The yeah. challenge of the exam or of the assessment, it has to reflect the material covered. And it's one of those tricky things. When you come in off the street, you don't know how to write a test question or how to assess a student or explain something. So it makes it would make a tremendous difference for the students, I would think.
Oh, most definitely. That's where we've seen a lot of growth in the students, because I can speak from my personal experience. When I started teaching here at Logan, the way I tested was how I was tested when I was a student, yes, right? Yeah. Which was good in some respects, but not so good in others. And so as I kind of taught myself how to become a better educator, I realized that there were some things I was doing right. well, but some things I was doing wrong. Right. So a lot of our focus on assessment types and styles and approaches in the DHPE and the teaching residency just helped give that resident a big head start and improve the outcomes that, yeah. that they seek.
Dramatically, much more rewarding oh, yeah. for the faculty member or teacher, and much, much more rewarding for the student, because they can learn so much more.
Indeed.
When it's accessible, when you can grasp it. But moving on to the integrated, I want to talk a little bit about that. Mm-hmm. You mentioned how rapidly chiropractic is becoming integrated into mainstream healthcare. How does the internship, or rather the residency in integrated healthcare, how does that work? How does that evolve?
Yeah, so that has evolved out of our integrated clinical sites, first and foremost. So we have to have places for the residents to get exposure clinically. And those sites are the primary ones here in the St. Louis area. Mm-hmm. It also grew out of the demand that's out there for chiropractors to be included in many of these sites. Right. They often come to myself or Dr. Battaglia, who's our lead attending in those sites, asking, hey, we really want a chiropractor in this facility. Who do you recommend? Right. And sometimes we're like, I don't know who would be a good fit. And so out of that evolved, if we could train up residents that we could then immediately plug into a lot of these integrated sites, that would fill an ever-growing need of chiropractors that can operate in those sites, provide high quality care, be a valuable contributing member of the healthcare team. And another interesting thing that wasn't in my view when we started the residency program is that residency is a common language in other health professions, right? So when you say that you're residency trained, that engenders a level of trust and an assumption that you have a certain basic skill level.
Is it aligned? A residency I'm familiar with in that regard is the VA.
Correct.
It does our internship or residency, rather, for those students who aren't involved in the VA, mm-hmm. mirror the kinds of experiences and benchmarks?
Yeah.
And
yeah, so ours is one of the two integrated residencies, basically, right. that exist outside the VA right. system. Right. So it's modeled very closely on the VA resident model. Theirs is a one-year program. Our residency is currently a one-year program. And the goal is to mirror the successes that right. the VAs have and modify it for the special right. needs of the community health centers primarily that we function right. in. Right. So yeah, the learning objectives are set. We have periodic evaluations of the residents. They get a lot of direct oversight early on in their residency. Now, we give them more freedom than they had as a student, of course, because right. we don't want them to feel like they're just going back to school right. In that context. But then they, as they meet their benchmarks throughout the program, they get more and more autonomy yeah. until they're functioning very independently.
We see a lot of that as teamwork. As an intern, someone interested in integrated medicine, I need to be a member of a team. I need to feel like a member of a team. So I need a definition of what my role in that team is and how I interact and how I engage folks, et cetera.
Definitely, yeah. And being a resident helps them take on a defined role at that time, because otherwise most of the inroads that chiropractors have made in those settings have been very individual based, right?
Very individual.
I'm a chiropractor, I build a relationship with a team in my community, but I'm kind of isolated. So hopefully these residencies can allow us to expand as a profession a little more rapidly?
Well, and confidently, I think. You know, I think the trick has been all along, you developed the relationship in some integrated setting, and they're really happy. And they say, well, we'd like another, but there's no real system, right?
Right.
To be able to say, there's only the people you know, which often is sufficient, but not always, right? So it seems like a great thing. I want to have to move on in the last couple of minutes here to the ultrasound and the fellowship.
Yeah, sure.
It fascinates me. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. So the fellowship was started by Dr. Kettner back when he was the residency director as an additional year of training post-residency for those who are interested in advanced imaging. And ultrasound is a big part of that fellowship. The fellow also trains in MR, CT, interpretation, skill set. But yeah, the ultrasound was started back in 2007. I was the first fellow to complete that program. So it's near and dear to my heart. So our current fellow is Dr. Jessica Billum, and she's doing a great job. So the fellowship just prepares that particular fellow with the skill set to perform primarily musculoskeletal diagnostic ultrasound. They really become an expert in that realm in a very short period of time. And one of the great things about doing the residency is I would go to other ultrasound meetings. I would often be the only chiropractor there.
Sure.
And many people were very surprised and at the same time very respectful of the skill set that we have developed here, primarily at Logan, as Logan, for the long time, was the innovator in ultrasound in the chiropractic profession.
What a tremendous tool. What a tremendous tool.
It's great,
yeah. It's a great so I've got to thank you, and I have to note, you are already a many times over recognized teacher. Oh. So you bring to this not just the residency, but in teaching and learning or the DHPE, but your own skill set and insights. You've been a tremendous asset to Logan.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, good. I hope to talk to you again soon.
Me too.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks.